Please remain standing as we turn to our text today, which is Psalm 141. And for those of you who might be visiting, I will explain that this is our text because we are moving through the Psalms, psalm by psalm. Psalm 141, a psalm of David. O Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds in company with men who work iniquity. And let me not eat of their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. Yet my prayer is continually against their evil deeds. When their judges are thrown over the cliff, then they shall hear my words, for they are pleasant. As when one plows and breaks up the earth, so shall our bones be scattered in the mouth of Sheol. But my eyes are towards you, O God, my Lord. In you I seek refuge. Leave me not defenseless. Keep me from the trap that they have laid for me and from the snares of evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by safely. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, thank you for this psalm. We pray that you would help us to learn from it how we should be praying before you throughout our lives, throughout our days. Give us discernment, Father, as to what is going on in the world, and then help us to take this prayer and lift it up before you as we should. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This whole psalm is a prayer, and we're going to begin by considering the purpose of David's prayer. Formed as a question, we are asking, what was David seeking from the Lord? Why did he utter this prayer? Knowing David's purpose will help us understand why we need to make this wise prayer our own. What I will first say concerning the purpose is that the purpose is not clear as you begin to read the psalm. There are some very clear petitions at the beginning of the prayer, and from the first verse, you realize there's urgency in this prayer, but it's not clear why David is urgently praying. The purpose doesn't become clear until the end of the psalm. So let's jump to the end of the psalm and see what we learn. In verse 9, David prays, keep me from the trap they have laid for me and from the snares of evildoers. There we see that David's purpose is to seek God's help because evildoers are attacking him. Evildoers are seeking to take his life. They're hunting him. They are laying traps for him. If you were here last Sunday, you might recognize that this is the same situation David faced when writing Psalm 140. And what we need to understand from last week's psalm and this week's psalm is that we need the same help. We need the same help because the evil one and all of the fallen angels and people he reigns over, the evil one's army is always attacking God's people, the church. Last week I explained that ultimately there are two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of Jesus. Ever since the fall of mankind, the two kingdoms have been at war. The crucifixion was a defining moment in the war, but the war will continue until Jesus comes again. And the attack on the church will increase the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus. Listen to a passage from the Gospel of Matthew. Listen, realizing this is God's inspired word to all Christians. This is Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 14. As he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, for the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." When you are united to Jesus, when you are following him, when you are standing firm on his word and saying no to lawlessness, saying no to the world which attacked and crucified him, well, you're going to be attacked as well. The attack isn't always physical. The attack might be verbal. The attack might be pressure to conform. The attack is sometimes very apparent, and sometimes it's very tricky. It's a trap. Trap being set. There are times when the battle is intense, and there are times when it is less intense. There are times when God's people have more influence in the world, and hence the attacks simmer down. We have enjoyed those times in America, but the war is always there. And the battles are going to continue to increase the closer we get to the return of Christ. We need to understand that truth. We need to be awake and observant of what is going on around us in the world. We need to be ready to stand firm. Listen again to verse 12. This is an important verse for us to know and think about. "And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." That verse is about people in the church. The love of many in the church will grow cold, meaning their love for Jesus. The battle is real. It affects us. And we need God's help to stand firm. And that is the help David is seeking in Psalm 141. That's why he's calling upon the name of the Lord. So the psalm is very relevant for us. We can learn from it. The battle was in some ways different in David's day. For David, the battle often involved real swords and shields. But ultimately, the war David faced and the war we face, it's the same war, the same two kingdoms battling against each other. From Psalm 141, we can learn from David how to pray regarding the war so that our love for Jesus will not grow cold and so that we will endure to the end under his glory. That's the purpose of David's prayer. With that understood, I ask you to look with me now at the petitions in David's prayer. That's my next overall heading, the petitions in David's prayer. And the first petition is a plea for God to hear and swiftly answer. Listen to verse 1 again. O Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me, give ear to my voice when I call to you. Now here's a question we should ask ourselves when we read this verse. Why is David asking God to hear him? We know from other passages that God is present everywhere and he hears everything. Whether you want him to or not, God hears everything. God even knows the thoughts you don't say out loud. And we learned not too long ago from Psalm 139 that God knows your words before they're on your tongue. So why is David asking God to hear him? The answer is that David was feeling his urgent need for God to help him. David was feeling his weakness. David knew he would not stand, he would not survive if God did not come to help him. And dear Christians, we should pray with the same urgency, recognizing that we cannot stand on our own strength. I'll state the truth this way. Apart from God's power and grace in our lives, all of us will fall away from Jesus. Our love will grow cold. And we will fall away apart from God's help. So it's wise to pray with humble urgency for God's help. I'll emphasize that by reminding us of something that happened on the night before Jesus was crucified. You might remember that while Jesus was in the upper room with his 12 disciples, he told them very clearly that one of them would betray him. And he told them very clearly that the rest of them would deny him and be scattered. Jesus told his disciples, listen, you are going to face this intense battle, and your love for me is quickly going to grow cold, and you're going to scatter from me. You're going to deny me. Jesus very clearly made that known. And then he took his 11 disciples, 11 because Judas had gone to betray him. He took his 11 disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus went to a private place to pray. Before doing so, he told Peter, James, and John to watch and pray while he did so. In Mark chapter 14, starting with verse 17, we read what happened. And Jesus came and found them, Peter, James, and John, sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Here we see that the disciples were not taking seriously enough what Jesus had told them. He had just communicated that they were facing this very serious battle. Jesus was going to be betrayed. The evil one was going to attack. This was not a time to sleep. But that's what they did, because they were not understanding their personal weakness, and they were not understanding just how intense the battle would be that they were about to face. They were not humble and realistic about what they needed, about their weakness. Concerning what the disciples thought about themselves, listen to what Peter told Jesus before Jesus went to pray. This is Mark chapter 14, verses 27 through 30. And Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I'm raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even though they all fall away, I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. Peter thought he was strong. When Peter heard Jesus talk about the battle they were facing, Peter thought, well, no problem. Listen, I'm ready. I will die for you. Peter didn't understand his weakness, and Peter didn't realize how frightening it is to face evil. So Peter slept. He did not watch and pray. Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, he knew he had to pray. Jesus was praying. Jesus sought strength. And long ago, David knew he had to pray. David prayed with urgency for the Lord to help him. But Peter and the other disciples slept. And in application, I ask, what about you? Are you asleep or awake? Are you taking seriously what Jesus has said to us? Listen again to what Jesus has so clearly made known to us. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Are you letting his words spur you on in prayer? Are you sleeping? Lawlessness is increasing in our nation and in our world. We see that, don't we? How are you responding? The disciples were sleeping when they should have urgently been crying out to God the words of David's prayer. Oh Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. The first petition is about our weakness, our urgent need for God's help. Let us all learn today from David's first petition. And let us learn from his second petition as well, which is a petition that might surprise us. David pleads for his prayers to be pleasing to God. He prays for his prayers to be pleasing to God. Listen to verse 2 of the psalm. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And this petition, David is using imagery from the temple to ask God to bless his prayer life. He wanted all of his prayers, those offered in the morning, those offered at night, those offered in between, he wanted all of his prayers to be pleasing to God. In the temple, incense was burned in the morning, and in the evening, sacrifices were offered to God. When the incense and the sacrifices were offered in the way prescribed by God, with the right heart attitude, they were pleasing aromas to God, something God accepted, that he received. Listen to what is said in Exodus chapter 29, verse 18, as an example. Quote, burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. When an offering was offered up in the right way, with the right heart, well, then God was pleased. And the same was true of incense. David uses that imagery to pray about his prayers. David wanted all of his prayers to be pleasing aromas to God. That's a wise petition, because our prayers can either be a pleasant aroma to God or an unpleasant stench before God. God hears every prayer that is offered up on planet Earth. But he doesn't like every prayer that's offered up to him. Listen to what James wrote to some Christians regarding their prayers. This is James chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. You ask, he's talking about their prayers to God, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions, you adulterous people. When we lift up our prayers with wrong motives, we're not sending up a pleasing aroma to God. And so it is wise to ask God to help us be people who pray well, who pray according to his will, who pray with holy motive. And therefore, I ask you, do you ever do that? Do you ever pray about your prayers? We should learn from David to do so. It's a good practice. It's a practice we see in the life of the Puritans. I want to show you that because their prayers are a great example of what we're learning here. There's a wonderful book called The Valley of Vision by Arthur Bennett. The book is a collection of prayers that were written out by the Puritans. He collected them, put them in the book. I'm going to read two examples of how the Puritans prayed about their prayers. They did this well. These are quotes from various prayers in the book. Here's one quote. Help me to pray in faith, and so find thy will, by leaning hard on thy rich, free mercy, by believing thou wilt give what thou hast promised. Strengthen me to pray with the conviction that whatever I receive is thy gift, so that I may pray until prayer be granted. That's a prayer about prayer. Have you ever prayed like that? It's a wise prayer. Here's another example. I thank thee that many of my prayers have been refused. I have asked amiss and do not have. I have prayed from lust and been rejected. I have longed for Egypt and been given a wilderness. Go on with thy patient work, answering no to my wrongful prayers and fitting me to accept it. Purge me from every false desire, every base aspiration, everything contrary to thy rule. That is an honest, awesome prayer. And that's the type of petition David lifts up in Psalm 141. His second petition is a prayer for his prayers to be pleasing. We should learn from David. We should practice what we see in this psalm. And David's third petition is a plea for sanctification. There are several parts to this plea that we hear in verses 3 through 5. First of all, David prays addressing his mouth and lips. In verse 3, he says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. David knew well how harmful words could be. He had been cut many times by words. He had seen people literally die because of false words. And David knew he had a sinful nature. He knew his words could be poison. So he asked God to protect him from sinning in that way. This is a wise prayer because when we are experiencing an attack, we can easily sin in return. My guess is we could all give an example of times when we have responded to an attack with sinful words in return. We all need God to put a guard over our mouths, because none of us have complete control over our tongue. The book of James makes that very clear. Listen to James chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. We cannot tame our tongue. We need the help of our Lord and Savior. We hear David addressing that reality. And what fuels the tongue is the heart. And so David addresses his heart as well. He prays for his heart to be sanctified. He says in verse 4, do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds, in company with men who work iniquity, and let me not eat of their delicacies. David knew that when the heart inclines to evil, evil actions will eventually follow, especially when you're spurred on by others. For instance, when your heart is full of greed and you're in the company of people who are willing to be devious for money, well, you very well might partake of their ways. Or when you desire adultery, when you let your mind think about it and you let your heart hunger for it, well, then you're not very far from committing the action, especially when you're in company of someone who desires the same. Sinful desires lead to sinful actions. Listen to what James says about quarrels and fights. Quote, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Before fists fly and harmful words are said, there are passions. There are sinful desires in the heart. So when we're praying for our sanctification, we especially need to address our heart. And I therefore ask you, have you done that lately? Have you searched your heart for sinful desires? Have you repented of those desires? Listen to some more words from James. James writes, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's what we hear David doing in Psalm 141. David prays to God about his heart. And David doesn't stop there when praying for his sanctification. He also addresses his need for godly rebukes. He asks God to supply righteous rebukes, and he asks God to strengthen him to receive those rebukes. Listen to verse 5. Let a righteous man strike me. It is kindness. Let him rebuke me. It's oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. Wow. That's not an easy prayer to lift up. David is asking God to send righteous people his way who will point out his sin. And David wants God to empower him to receive such rebukes as oil, as kindness, as a loving act. With David's prayer in front of us, I ask you, have you refused any rebukes lately? Or maybe responded to them in anger, knowing deep down inside that your sin was being addressed, sin you want to hang on to. Don't touch my sin, that's mine. Has your spouse said anything to you you need to think about? Has a friend said anything to you you need to think about? It's wise to receive godly rebukes as kindness. Pray that your heart will do so. That's what we hear David doing. The war is real. All three petitions we have so far heard are needed in our lives. We all need these petitions. We are in a spiritual war. We cannot let down our guards. Listen again to the words of Jesus. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Let us respond to that reality by praying urgently for God to hear and swiftly answer, by praying for our prayers to be pleasing aromas to Him, by turning to our God for sanctification of our mouth, our heart, rebukes from righteous people well received. We all need this. And fourth, let us learn from David to plea for protection from evildoers. That's how David ends his prayer. He asks God for protection. The fourth petition starts at the end of verse 5. After praying that he will receive godly rebukes, David then prays, yet my prayer is continually against their evil deeds. The word yet flows from his prayer to receive godly rebukes. David wants to humbly receive needed rebukes from God's people. And yet, at the same time, he wants to stand firm against ungodly attacks, which can also be verbal. He wants to receive godly rebukes. He wants to stand firm against ungodly words, ungodly rebukes. The ungodly wrongly rebuke Christians. The attacks can be both verbal and physical. So David prays against their evil deeds. That's how he starts his plea for protection, and his petition continues to the end of his prayer. Now, verses 6 and 7 are very difficult to understand. And so I'm going to try to make clear to you what I have concluded they mean. In verse 6, I submit to you that David is lifting up a gracious prayer. David knows the wicked will not succeed. He knows they will eventually be thrown over the cliff. They will be defeated. And his prayer is at that time, his words would be pleasant to them and heard by them. I submit to you, this is a gracious prayer. We Christians have the great pleasure of proclaiming the gospel to the enemy. And when the gospel is heard and received, enemies become friends. And that's a wonderful success, a wonderful way to experience protection from God. So David prays that as the evildoers experience defeat, they would hear his words to them, his pleasant words. I'll give you an example of what he's talking about in verse 6 from David's life. You might remember that there was a time when King Saul was seeking to kill David. And so David was fleeing and he was hiding. And caves were one of his hiding places. One day while David was hiding in a cave, David had the opportunity to easily kill King Saul. Saul could have been thrown over the cliff right then and there, to use David's words in verse 6. But instead of killing Saul, David cut off a piece of his robe so that he could prove to Saul that he had the opportunity to kill him. And then David spoke to Saul. He spoke pleasant words to Saul. Starting in verse 12 of 1 Samuel 24, we hear David say to Saul, "May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, out of the wicked comes wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you and see to it and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand." As soon as David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is that your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. David spoke words of judgment that were sweet words, sweet words. And Saul seemingly responded. Saul wept. And for that moment, David was protected. When the wicked repent, the evil stops. That's an awesome way for the godly to be protected. Sadly, in Saul's case, Saul was not truly repentant, and he would soon seek again to take David's life. But for the moment, there was protection. But what happened here is an example of what David is talking about, I believe, in verse 6 of his prayer. David is praying that the wicked will realize they are wrong, and that the wicked will receive his words, his sweet words, and that way David would be protected. Now in verse 7, David refers to their evil attack. David knew that the wicked wanted to tear him and those who were with him apart. The wicked wanted to scatter their bones. The wicked didn't want to just kill David and those who were with him. They wanted to literally tear David and his friends apart. They wanted to scatter their bones, and David knew they could do so. He knew that what the wicked were capable of. So David looks to God for help. Listen to verse 8. "But my eyes are toward you, O God, my Lord. In you I seek refuge. Leave me not defenseless." Dear Christians, what I hope you realize from this message is that this plea should be a regular part of our lives, because there are people who want to destroy the church. Just like people wanted to scatter the bones of David and his friends, there are people who want to destroy the church. We are being ignorant if we don't realize that we're in a battle and we need God to defend us in this battle. We need to pray, verse 8. We need to look to God for help. And while humbly asking God to defend us, we can then confidently lift up the words of David in verses 9 and 10. In those verses, David says, "Keep me from the trap that they have laid for me and from the snares of evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by safely." This is a prayer for justice and protection. David is praying that God will use their evil plans against them. And David saw that prayer answered. David many times passed by safely in battle while the wicked fell. And I want to end today by pointing out that we especially see the petition of verses 9 and 10 answered in the life of Jesus, great David's greater son. Think about it. Satan struck Jesus via the cross. The cross was, from Satan's intention, from Satan's work, a vicious, evil strike on Jesus, the Son of God. But what did God do via the cross? Answer, he used Satan's attack on Satan. God used the cross to crush Satan's head. God used Satan's evil plans against him. Dear friends, we worship an awesome, sovereign God. He can and will protect us. For although the war still continues, he has already had the victory via the cross. We can, with great confidence, go to him in prayer and know that he will answer us when we come to him, as we see David come to him in this psalm. Let's do so right now together. Oh, Father God, we do urgently come before you. We have heard your word today. We have heard you tell us very clearly what to expect in this fallen world. And Father, we see things happening in our world right now. We do see lawlessness increasing. We see attitudes changing all the time. We see a harder line between good and evil. The battle's increasing. Hear our prayers. We need you. And Father, we first of all need you to keep us from sin. Sanctify us. May our prayers always be a pleasant aroma before you. May we seek what you want us to seek. May we come looking for your name to be exalted. May we come looking to be transformed by you. May we come looking to be your people, doing what you would have us to do in these days. Shape us, use us. Keep us from evil. Don't let us respond to evil with evil. Let us respond to it with kindness. Let our words be pleasing. Let our words be pleasant in the ears of all who are right this moment under the reign of Satan. Let our words be a pleasing sound in their ears. May you turn many hearts to you. May you protect us in that way. And Father, we also look to you to ultimately protect us through your righteous reign, your justice. May you come and deliver us. May you come and put all your enemies under your feet. You are King of Kings. We look to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.